From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Last week, EU Parliament passed a resolution to counter Russian media, and specifically they called out Sputnik and RT. Are you concerned by this resolution?
I haven't seen that resolution.
That was U.S. State Department spokesperson John Kirby at Monday's daily press conference at the Department of State, responding to a reporter's question about a resolution passed in the European Parliament last week dealing with what was termed Russian propaganda.
I haven't seen this report, and I haven't seen, so I'm a bit of a loss to comment specifically about it. Concerns about Russian activities in the information environment, their use of propaganda, those are not new concerns, and we share concerns with many other nations about the way Russia tries to use the information environment to its own ends, be they political, social, cultural, or economic. And that is something that we're going to continue to talk about with our allies and with our friends and partners throughout the world.
Among those partners, apparently, can be counted the Washington Post, which has run a series of articles on so-called fake news, including one last week on the business page titled "Russian Propaganda Effort Helped Spread Fake News During Election, Experts Say." That article by Craig Timberg, published November 24th, begins with this: "The flood of fake news this election season got support from a sophisticated Russian propaganda campaign that created and spread misleading articles online with the goal of punishing Democrat Hillary Clinton, helping Republican Donald Trump, and undermining faith in American democracy, say independent researchers who tracked the operation." The Post linked to the website of the so-called independent researchers, who remain anonymous. That website is entitled propornot.com, as in propaganda or not. The website contains a list of a number of popular independent news sites in the U.S., including counterpunch.org, The Corbett Report, and blackagendareport.com. Margaret Kimberly has a weekly column at blackagendareport.com entitled Freedom Rider. This week her column, Black Agenda Report on the Honor Roll. We spoke with her via Skype from New York Wednesday. On the Honor Roll, let's describe for people what that's about.
Sure. We, Black Agenda Report was very proud to have ended up on this mysterious list. This website suddenly appeared recently called Is It Propaganda or Not? And it listed some 200 news sources that were said to be under the sway of Russia, either useful idiots or people in the pay of Russia, Putinite, any number of titles will do. And some of those are like Barr, websites that analyze the news from a left perspective, obviously. So Counterpunch was on, Truth Out, but then Drudge Report was on too, so that was a little strange.
Yeah.
And no one knows, it's anonymous, and the Washington Post is the paper that ran with this story. So it's not, of course, unknown who did it, but it doesn't really matter, because it's clearly an effort of the Democratic Party. And this is an effort, an unsuccessful effort, which they, interestingly enough, are continuing even after their defeat. All year long, the Democratic Party has been peddling this story about Russian interference in the election,
right,
Russian collusion with WikiLeaks, anything that made the Democrats look bad, anything that made Hillary Clinton look bad, was obviously instigated by the Russians. And it does make a kind of twisted sense. Obama has declared war on Russia. Actually, this started years ago, started in the 90s, when the Soviet Union collapsed. there was an effort to take Russia apart the way they did Yugoslavia. And it started with getting former Soviet bloc nations into the EU and into NATO, and the two go hand in hand, it seems, and encroaching closer and closer and closer to Russia. Finally, to the Obama administration instigating a coup in Ukraine in 2014. The effort to take Syria apart despite Russian opposition, and finally Russia entering into that war last year. So this is an ongoing project to put the entire world under American control and to oppose Russia and China, China being an economic rival of the United States. And Russia, while it's... it certainly does not have the military presence that the United States does, but it potentially is still a rival for U.S. Plans. And so this media storm all year long about Russia this and Putin is behind everything. Hillary Clinton, one of her lines in the campaign, which clearly didn't work very well, was that Trump was a Putin's puppet, she called him.
I know.
And
Christmas in the
Trump,
Kremlin. They were going to have Christmas in the Kremlin if Trump
yeah,
got
Christmas
elected.
Christmas in the Kremlin. I mean, it was it went back to the worst days of the Cold War. So here we are on this list, and we're very happy to be on the list because it means that we tell the truth. It means that we are opponents of U.S. foreign policy, and we do not allow their lies to go unchallenged. We are not friends of the American government. If you are, you're not a very good journalist, which is what we call ourselves. Now, that doesn't apply to the Washington Post and the New York Times and MSNBC. They take their orders straight from the White House. And you can see it all year long. There have been these stories that shouldn't even have been in the paper about Russia. There was one, this sticks in my mind particularly, that Russia had more icebreakers than the U.S., and it was they were going to take over the North Pole. Well, Russia has most of the ice.
Well, if you're going to have Christmas in the Kremlin, you better grab Santa Claus, okay?
I know. It was just absurd. So there were absurd links to this that you can laugh at, but it's all very serious.
Yeah, it is. Hey, look, you've got a number of things that have been going on over the past year or two in this particular arena. You have the effort at the Broadcast Board of Governors to, they identified Russian propaganda. You had a senator from New Hampshire, if memory serves, announcing that Russian propaganda kills, that there's a body count as a consequence of Russian propaganda, and that the Broadcast Board of Governors had to get a lot more money, of course, and through the channels, Radio Liberty, Radio Free Europe, and all this, counter Russian propaganda, and they end up making a partnership with a criminal oligarch who is on the lam from Russia, who owns some media outlets inside Russia that are going to propagandize essentially the people of the United States. And then you had last week, just last week, the EU Parliament debating, strategies to counter Russian propaganda. The whole thing, it makes HUAC look like, a backwash, birthday party for 10-year-olds. They got a global effort going on here.
Well, it shows you the crisis that they're facing. President Obama was shortly after the election. He went to Germany. It was interesting that he went straight to Angela Merkel and met with her. Mm-hmm. And at their press conference, he talked a lot about fake news.
Yeah.
And it's pretty clear that he needs the public to keep buying what he's selling. And the fact that Hillary Clinton lost means that that's not happening anymore.
Yeah.
So this is a particular strategy of theirs. And anything coming from the EU, the U.S. runs the EU. So this is clearly an American-sponsored effort to ratchet up the propaganda against Russia. And but it's very dangerous, and it's just as dangerous as putting troops on Russia's border, this effort to influence opinion and to make people ready for war. Hillary Clinton One of the things that made her very dangerous was she said she would have a no-fly zone over Syria. Well, Russia made that clear. Then that means war.
That's right.
And this is something they're still pushing. Even though they lost, even though Trump's going to be president on January 20th, Obama and the rest of the war party, which includes Democrats and Republicans, and that's going to be the most interesting thing to see about the Trump administration, is he going to stick by what he said during the campaign, that he was going to reach out to the Russian government and have a dialogue and have a relationship and work with Russia on defeating the terrorist organizations, which the United States had promoted in an effort to control as much of the world as possible. The jihadists, you know, the real Benghazi scandal is actually was a Democratic and Republican scandal that the same jihadists that the U.S. funded to take out Gaddafi were the ended up taking out the U.S. ambassador. So this is an ongoing thing as well. So we will see if Trump wants to stick by what he said and if he will be allowed to do that.
Yeah, well, you know, you mentioned him becoming president and having to deal with the Republicans and Democrats that are the war party. But he's got to get through them from here to there first. We've got the Electoral College with the calls for nullification there. And then, of course, there's the January 6th joint session of Congress where they decide whether to certify or not. And if you look back at January 6th, 2001, Al Gore stopped the challenges at that time to the certification. You're going to have instead Joe Biden and or Paul Ryan and whoever comes out today as a Democratic leader and McConnell and Schumer or if it's the existing Senate minority leader, making the decisions then, all of them are hostile to Trump. So if he gets through all of that, I mean, he's going to be facing the Congress on January 6th, even before he takes office, getting there. And then he's got to, of course, not get shot the next 2 weeks later, because a lot of folks don't want to see this reset or change in direction with Russia.
Yeah, but the Democrats, they are so wimpy, and they, as you pointed out, did not contest. They could have kept George Bush from becoming president.
Yep.
And instead they decided to let it happen because they are, in fact, two wings of the same duopoly bird.
Right.
And they want to be part of the permanent government more than they want anything else, more than they stand for anything their rank and file want them to stand for. So I don't think it's very likely that they will suddenly change course and deny Trump the presidency. Which is unfortunate in a way because the Electoral College needs to go. I mean, it would take a constitutional amendment. It would be quite an effort to make that happen. But the popular vote, this is such a terrible election. I was afraid of Hillary Clinton becoming president, frankly. I
Me
felt
too.
She was that dangerous,
yep.
Even though Trump wasn't my choice either for
a
variety of reasons.
Right.
But the Electoral College needs to go. But Democrats are in no condition to take that on. Or first of all, they're out completely in Washington. Minorities in both lost the White House. Minorities in both houses gave up control of state houses across the country. So Democrats are not going to be setting an agenda anytime soon. But I don't see that as being a problem necessarily, because I think the Democratic rank and file need to set their own agenda. And this party that has led to this debacle needs to be on the outs with its own members.
Yeah, I mean, you refer to it as a gigantic marketing scheme meant to keep fearful progressives in line, and this whole fear-mongering about, Russian agents stealing the election and fake news and all of this stuff is, just a part of that effort. And meanwhile, as you point out, you talk about the corporate media here acting as scribes for presidents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they basically repeat everything a White House tells them. So it can be Bush making the case for war in Iraq, claiming there's weapons of mass destruction. It can be Obama saying they have he has a right to protect Libyans by killing them. Nobody asked any questions about that. So they promote war crimes, and now it's Russia that's supposed to be the enemy. So they follow along with and support everything presidents say. And it'll be interesting to see how much that happens with Trump, because he has in some ways gone against Republican Party orthodoxy. So it'll be interesting to see which way they go with him. And the war party is so firmly entrenched, it's not clear how this is all going to shake out.
Yeah, you know, I was watching MSNBC earlier this morning, and they've got a spot that's intended to show the diversity of opinion that's presented there, and they show all these different faces that are, you know, featured on MSNBC frequently. And I watched it go through, I don't know, 30, 100, it goes cut really fast, and there's multiple faces on the screen at one time. I was looking for Phil Donahue. Didn't see him anywhere.
Yes, the
remember
early
him?
Days of MSNBC, they took Phil Donahue had a show, and this was in the early 2000s, around the time of the Iraq War.
The highest rated show they had while they were trying to crack the market.
That's right, and they took him off the air because he was raising questions about the war in Iraq and about the Bush administration. So they, in those days, they were following a Republican. Then the 8 years of Obama, they were slavishly following Obama.
Yep.
And they don't have diversity of opinion. They may have diversity of faces,
right.
But they, you know, they just follow the part. I call them Fox News for Democrats.
Yeah, right.
And actually, they are worse. Yeah. Than Fox News, because they have this pretense of being more enlightened and being smarter. And also, Fox actually debated who should be the Republican nominee, who would really be best. And the MSNBC didn't question. It should be Hillary.
Right.
So there was this months-long campaign to discredit Bernie Sanders. And then once she got the nomination, it was all Hillary all the time, and
right.
Everybody else was a basket of deplorables or
right.
a Russian spy, and
or both.
And Putin was Satan, and so they're pretty bad. So there's no diversity in MSNBC. That's pretty funny.
And what is funny is that there actually is a diversity of opinion at Black Agenda Report, except on some very key issues, of course, opposition to neoliberal economics, opposition to neocon foreign policy, opposition to white supremacy and racism in the various forms. But how to get there, there's considerable diversity of opinion among the various commentators at Black Agenda Report.
Yeah, there is. And we something else we're very proud of, we have just to remind your listeners, we also have Black Agenda Radio, which we publish that on Tuesday, so that's all already, well, actually it's Wednesday now, so the whole thing is up now. But we have a diversity of opinion about the election of Donald Trump. So we have someone who is concerned about Medicare and Social Security, and concerned that Trump will work with the Republicans to privatize them. We have Dr. Gerald Horn talking about the Trump election as it relates
right.
to black people, not in a good way.
Right.
Dinah Johnstone, a writer living in France, but she's written extensively on Hillary Clinton and the dangers she posed, and I don't know if it's correct to say her hopes, but that Trump will get rid of these war party policies. And then I talk about the hollowness of Obama's legacy. So, and then the words of Leonard Peltier on Thanksgiving, actually the National Day of Mourning for Indigenous People. So that today's Black Agenda Radio is a good example of what you're talking about, the fact that we come at issues from different angles, even though we come together in the end on the big issues. So, yes, that's something that is lacking in the corporate media for all their crowing about how wonderful they are. And they do something else, too. They always talk about Russian state-controlled media. Any outlet that is at all favorable to Russia, which doesn't mean much, much. You just have to tell the truth about right. Russia's relation with the United States is simple. Russia, I think, wants to be left alone
right.
and not be threatened by the American empire. But they, you know, RT is state-controlled, and Russia Insider is state-controlled, and on and on and on. Well, the BBC is state-controlled.
Right.
The CBC, Canadian Broadcasting, is state-controlled. So, I, you know, that doesn't seem to bother them if it's one, on one side. But these constant charges that these other outlets are state-controlled and therefore cannot be trusted. MSNBC is state-controlled.
Yeah, right.
The Washington Post, I mean, this ridiculous list exists at all, only exists at all because they are doing the work of the Democratic Party. So these charges of state control and you know, versus independence are really quite farcical.
Okay, so meanwhile, tell us, let us in on a secret. How many rubles do you have stashed away in your apartment down there?
Actually, I have. I went to Moscow 2 years ago, and I realized I had some leftover money, which always happens to me on foreign trips.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I saw it yesterday, and I said, maybe I am a Russian spy.
Because
I have like 50 rubles in my drawer.
I'll have to go through some of the sketches of Natasha and get you some fashions that'll fit you into that, like the trench coats.
Well, she always wore that red strapless dress, so
I like
think that would work.
Ooh, mommy. I see Glenn dressed up like Boris. But, you know, the diversity of opinion that you're talking about is actually just really a marker of critical thinking. I mean, I myself, looking at Trump, have a diversity of opinion depending on what, you know, topical matter we're speaking of. I would like to find some way of saying to the Trump administration, I completely support what you said you wanted to do in foreign policy about no more regime change, nation building, and try to build relationships, positive relationships with Russia, China, and everyone. I will get your back on that, and I'll be behind you pushing. On these things, no way, buddy. I'm going to stop you every which way. And that's what, you know, when people are looking at things critically, that's what they do. And yet that is completely absent from American media. And that fact has nothing to do with whose propaganda on these particular lists that are being compiled, like the one the Washington Post published.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, that's one of the things Diana Johnstone has said, that to dismiss everything Trump says and all his supporters as being deplorables and not to try to strengthen his hand on those issues that people who care, frankly, about life on Earth.
Right. World War III, big issue.
Yes, it is. I mean, everything's moot if we go up in a mushroom cloud.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, she's one of those who has said what, you know, basically what you just said, that you can oppose. And it isn't, and a lot of it's not clear if he really wants to have a Muslim registry. He backtracked from that pretty quickly, although there was a de facto Muslim registry for some years, for more than 10 years, including part of the Obama administration, where men from 25 different nations had to register with immigration. So it was a de facto Muslim registry. Immigration. Obama deported many more than any other president. So it's not clear. You know, Trump probably can't build a wall, as there already is a wall. But those are things to oppose. And the other concern that they have instigated and encouraged people who are just racist, who are just bigots. And I'm hoping that as President Trump would denounce that, so that he could be possibly taken more seriously. And he himself is a problem, as you know, with his crazy tweets and all.
Yep, for sure.
About, you know, Fidel Castro is dead, exclamation point. And
right.
It's like, well, dude, what did you mean? Are you
right.
happy? Are you,
yeah, right.
are you trying to give us the news? What's going on there? So, yes, I would hope that that can happen. I'm also hoping to finally see some independence from the Democratic Party. This election loss should mean a wholesale rejection of the Democrats. and especially for black people who cling to the Democrats with this death grip. And but we must get rid of them. If people are concerned about the right wing finally privatizing these what remains of our safety net, these are issues to fight for. But it can't be the Democrats because they couldn't fight before. They couldn't keep the state houses. They just were not interested. They allowed Republicans to gerrymander state after state and create these state districts, these safe districts, and it will be very difficult for Democrats to win back these states or these congressional seats. And I haven't heard anything about them having a plan to fight that. The next census is just in 3 years, right around the corner. Did the Democrats have a plan to change that? No, they didn't. So there has to be a discussion of how we go about, and there's going to be disagreement about how to do these things, but I really do want to see a rejection of the Democrats because they are our problem.
Yeah, and you know, some of the diverse opinions that are on display at blackagendareport.com right now. You've got Bill Quigley, 12 ideas post-election from frontline organizers. And he says, basically, let's get over the post-election trauma and stay centered and foster human connections to build a shared commitment for struggle. In other words, you know, later for all this, oh my God, it's the end of the world, let's get busy and do some critical analysis and some work. You got the only place that you'll see, well, one of the very few places, certainly, where you'll see a statement in the Obama administration about black-white earnings gap returning to 1950 levels by Patrick Byer and Kerwin Coffey Charles. You've got Michael Hudson critiquing Trump's infrastructure plan and the idea of public-private partnerships. That's a good, solid discussion to have right now while Trump comes out with policy, so you can state a counter-policy and start pressuring for negotiation to work it. These are things that they call it, when you're dealing with dictators in Latin America, constructive, or in apartheid South Africa, constructive engagement. The logic of that actually follows. This guy is going to be president, or he's not. But if he is, these are things he said. Some of them, the people that you think you're organizing voted for him over. And actually, some of them are things that you say, because it was very broad language that he used, you say you want to see implemented. Get busy. Make it happen.
Exactly. Exactly. And it just shows you the shallowness of the Democratic Party and the tragedy of black people following along with the Democrats and with the black misleaders among them, who have not in the past 3 weeks said anything useful about the post-election environment and what we can do and the power we do have. There is this panic, I don't think I'm exaggerating, panic and fear of the Trump administration among black people because of our usual panic when there's a Republican in, and because it's also because it's Trump. And I don't want to dismiss people's feelings entirely, but there is an absence of any critical thinking about what we can do and what we should do. People talking about getting guns, I was reading that suddenly there's a turnaround. There's an upsurge in gun sales among black people who are, afraid the rednecks will be on the loose. And that's always a fear black people ought to have. I don't want to dismiss it. But I think it's born of this impotence that we feel politically because we've tied ourselves to the Democrats and we think that a Democratic defeat is the end of the world, because it's been many, many years since we talked about self-determination and what we can do in popular struggle and forgetting what we have accomplished with popular struggle. So that's something else I want to start talking about. I'm going to write about that next week.
Margaret Kimberly has a weekly column at blackagendareport.com entitled Freedom Rider. This week's column, Black Agenda Report on the Honor Roll. Margaret, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.